السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك، اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we send peace and blessings on our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the hearing channels of our hearts to his remembrance, that we understand his words as they were meant to be, and they have an impact on our hearts so that we may actualize them in our lives and act according to them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us truth as the truth and help us to follow it, and show us falsehood as falsehood and help us to stay away from it. Ameen. So today we will inshallah be covering two of the last few surahs of the Quran, Surah 106 and 107, I believe, yes, which almost everyone knows by memory and we all frequently recite in our salah. And therefore, it's good to know the meaning because it helps us focus in our salah. And these are both Makkan surahs revealed in the early part of prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while, as we have reminded ourselves, he was facing difficulties with rejection and ridicule and opposition to the extent of persecution of his followers and torture and boycott and all of those things. So in that environment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the Quran primarily directed at the Quraysh, the people, the tribes who were in charge of Mecca. But the surahs are not just for the Quraysh, because the word of Allah is eternal, it is for all times. So we have to derive lessons from that, that this was addressing the Quraysh directly, but how does it affect me? What is its impact on me? Last week on Zoom, we had done Surah Al-Fil, the story of the elephant and the army of Abraha that had come to destroy the Kaaba, and how through an extraordinary event, birds, little birds were sent to destroy this massive army of almost 60,000 that the Arabian Peninsula had never seen, with massive elephants leading the army, and they were brought to halt at the Kaaba before they could enter Mecca. No opposition from the Quraysh, who had run onto the mountains because they knew they couldn't oppose this army. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this special force, and he does things in his own way. He didn't send massive angels to destroy this army or the elephants. He sent little birds with little pebbles, clay stones, to destroy them. And this was called the Amul Fil, the ear of the elephant, because it became so famous historically that the Arabs started naming the calendar according to Amul Fil, that this happened 10 years before the year of the elephant, this happened 1 year after the elephant. And as we know, the greatest thing that happened in the year of the elephant was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatest gift to all of mankind, which is the birth of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which according to some narrations happened approximately 50 days after the event of the fil, of the elephant, the destruction of that army. So in that surah Al-Fil, which is closely connected to this Quraysh, there is a great link. In surah Fil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the Quraysh, the same people who are rejecting the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't you remember just 40 years ago you were facing an army of 60,000 and I saved you And I saved you in a way that no other power could have saved. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding them of this favor. Say, why can't you believe? It's so obvious who is the Lord of this house. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded them of His favor, that He saved them. And therefore, what should they do in gratitude? They should worship Allah alone with no partners. That's all Allah wants. Allah says, I don't want you to feed me. I don't want your money. All I want from you is your ubudiyah, your submission, unconditioned submission, unconditional submission to my orders, my command, that you worship me alone. So linked to that in subject matter is Surah Quraysh. All, and in the order in which it was placed by Allah's command, it was placed right after Surah Fil. So that's 105, this is 106. So as we said, this is a early Meccan surah. Between these two surahs, there were 9 other revelations, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered that they be put next to each other because of the connectivity of the two. That was telling the, giving the Quraysh targhib, remember my favors, worship me. In this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is again reminding them of the favors, worship the Lord of this house. So we'll read Surah Quraysh and read the translation, and then we'll go into the details. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ إِلَافِهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. Translation: if only for the perennial security of the people of Quraysh, their perennial security in their winter and summer trade journey, let them then worship only the Lord of this sacred house, the one who alone has fed them against hunger and secured them from fear. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has labeled this Quraysh. The word Quraysh, as you know, is the name of the tribe of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The name Quraysh was given to a man by the name of Fihr ibn Malik, who was the 11th ancestor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the descendants of Adnan, who were the descendants of Ismail alayhi salam. So Fihr ibn Malik was given the title of Quraysh. Now there are differences of opinion where this came from. One is the word Qarsh in Arabic means shark. And Quraysh means a little shark. Just like Hassan is beautiful, Hussein is a little Hassan. Okay. So, as you know, people were named after animals like Asad, lion, and so on and so forth. So people were also named after sharks because they had some of those characteristics. So one narration is that Fihr was called Quraysh. Some others have derived it from that this word is derivative of taqarrush, which means to gather people, that maybe he gathered the tribes. So from the descendants of Fihr, there is a man by the name of Qusay, who is the 5th ancestor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these tribes were scattered all over Arabia. The ruling tribe of Mecca was the Khuza'a. Okay, so after Ismail alayhi salam was in charge, after Hajar alayhi salam was given the well and the house, Ismail alayhi salam, then he married into a tribe called Jurhum. So they were in charge. After that, they were overcome by this tribe called Khuza'a, who ruled Makkah for a long time. So these Quraysh tribes were scattered all over. Qusay got them all together. He married into the Khuza'a, and then he ascended to their leadership, and then there was a power struggle, and he brought in all the Quraysh and they took over Makkah. And from that time, the Quraysh were in charge of the Kaaba, descendants of Qusay. From those descendants is Hashim, who was the great grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Hashim was given, he's the one who started feeding the people who would come for Hajj. They were in charge of all the feeding and drink and hosting of the Hujjaj who came. And one of their cousins, Banu Abduddar, were given, because they also wanted some part of it, they were given the keys to the caravan. So from Hashim came Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather, who was in charge of Makkah at the time of the invasion of Abraha with the elephant army. So that's where the name came from. The Prophet ﷺ said the Quraysh were given 7 privileges that no one else was given. So what are they? He said, 1, that I am from among them. 2, that prophethood was sent to them. 3, that they were given the Kaaba. 4, they were given Zamzam. 5, that they were protected from the army of Abraha by the special miracle. 6, that they were the first people for 10 years who were given the privilege to hear the message of Islam and worship Allah before any other tribes. And the last one is that Allah revealed the surah by their name. So this is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now let's start with the surah. It says, Li ilafi Quraysh. The word ilaf has multiple meanings, but the most commonly understood meaning is this special favor of security, safety. Okay. Some have said ilaf also comes to gather things, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has helped them gather a lot of blessings, because we mentioned some of these blessings of the being the custodians of the Kaaba and being provided with food and all of these things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Li ilafi Quraysh, for this safety, security, this special status that has been given to the Quraysh, ilafihim rihlata shita'i was-sayf, for the security and their safety in their rihla, in their journeys in the winter and in the summer. So Hashim started this trading of Makkah, became a center of trade. He established a caravan route that in the winter time they would go south to Yemen, and in the summertime, and they would buy things from there, such as what came from India and China through those routes to Yemen, and buy all those things, spices, so and so, silks, all of that. And in the summertime, they would travel north to Damascus and that area, Gaza, and they would sell things over there, and then they would buy merchandise there. And so they had these routes, trade routes, which became very famous. Okay, and a lot of trade used to take place. Now, they were living in an environment where the moment you left Mecca, some tribe would attack you, take your women and children as slaves, and kill you and take everything you want. So there was complete anarchy in the peninsula, yet these caravans of the Quraysh, nobody dared to touch them. Why? Because they were the custodians of the Kaaba, and the Kaaba carried that azima, that these are the people of. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying is that your safety in these long journeys is guaranteed because of Allah, because of your association with the Kaaba, even though you have surrounded the Kaaba with 360 idols. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps these journeys fruitful. You make a lot of money, you bring a lot of produce, and you return there safely. So reflect, who has given you safety in the Kaaba? In Mecca, remember the army of Abraha? And remember when you leave Mecca, the safe sanctuary, and you travel all the way to Sham and all the way down to Yemen, nobody bothers you. In fact, other people, other traders join you because they know you're going to be safe and secure. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, إِلَافِهِمْ رَحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ, for their travel, their journeys in the winter and summer, what should they do? فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. So they should acknowledge this great favor. And when you understand the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what should you do? Naturally, if you have any heart, you become grateful. And therefore, to be grateful and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to worship Him. Because you can't do anything else other than worship Allah. So you can't give him anything else. فَلْيَعْبُدُوا. So as a result, the fa is sababiyya. In other words, because of this, it should lead you to ibadah of رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say worship Allah. He's reminding them that this is the house of Allah. And he is the Rabb. He's not just the Rabb of this bayt, but he is your Rabb. And don't think that you are having these successful trade journeys because you are so smart or you are so brave, because you have no bravery. You could not stand up to any army. You can't guarantee your own security. And don't think that all the wealth that you're getting, all the produce that you're getting is because you're good, skilled, business people. It's all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he's providing you with fruit and food in this barren valley that grows nothing. And we all witness that. Anyone who's been to Hajj and Umrah, in Makkah you can have any fruit you want, any food you want. Nothing grows there. And this is not because they were Quraysh. This is an answer of the dua of Ibrahim. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he built the Kaaba, as we mentioned in the last session, he made the dua, Ya Allah, make this land, this place, a place of peace, and provide for them. Provide for them. So this is the provision and the safety. This is in response to the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us elsewhere in the Quran. He says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا جَعَلْنَا حَرَمًا آمِنًا وَيُتَخَطَّفُ النَّاسُ مِنْ حَوْلِهِمْ أَفَبِالْبَاطِلِ يُؤْمِنُونَ وَبِنِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ يَكْفُرُونَ. Have they not seen how we have made Mecca a safe haven, a place of safety, whereas people all around you are being snatched? You know, people are being grabbed and kidnapped and all of that. How, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, how can they then believe in falsehood? How can they believe in batil when all of this favor has been given and they deny the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So, there are two very essential blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without which we cannot do. One is provision. Okay, everyone goes to work because we want provision. We move from country to country to increase our for risk and so on and so forth. Now, if you have provisions and you have no security or safety, it's a very miserable existence. Ask those countries where people had millionaires and billionaires, where they had to leave with nothing. Okay, where people, wealthy people, are living like in armored castles, like you go to South Africa, because there's no safety and security. So unless we feel safe and secure somewhere and you have provisions, you know, your life is miserable. So these are two great things that we take frequently for granted. A provision, we understand, we are getting food, the children are taught, thank Allah for the food, for the drink, for this, for that. But the safety issue is even more important. Okay, we are sitting here safely, peacefully, no worry. We leave our houses open. One time, I came home, the front door of my house was wide open. Nobody comes, nobody comes. Sometimes doors are locked. There's no alarms, nothing. Safety, security. We leave our homes every morning to go to work. We come back. Do we ever think that this was a special blessing that I reached my place of work and I came back safely? I'll give you an example. Yesterday I had a patient who takes care of a 28-year-old son who is quadriplegic. Means cannot move anything from here down for the last 7 years. He was 21 years old in college. He came back on his break with three friends. They've got on their bikes. Where's my biker? He's sleeping. To pick up pizza. They were driving and suddenly he went over the handlebars. No reason. And he's lying there and they're laughing at him. Get up, get up. Then he says, I can't move. He had a helmet on. Broke his spine here. For 7 years, he's been like that. Who thinks when you go out on a bike, kids running around, come back, that there is a possibility I may not have come back? We take our safety for granted. Look at the people in Gaza. Look at the people in Syria. When a child leaves the home, you don't know if they're coming back. You know, look at, you know, in all over the world. Look in Yemen. You're sleeping, in Afghanistan. The family is here. From nowhere in the skies, there comes a missile and blows 7 people away. They were made a mistake, right? We need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our safety and security every single day, not take it for granted. And safety and security is not just physical. This is physical. This is very tangible. But there is safety in our psychological health. You know, we have people in our own community who have psychological issues. We have sort of crisis of morality, safety in morality. You know, people are leaving Islam. They are being misguided, okay? And they think they've made a big positive change. Oh, I have left Islam proudly. This is dalala from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not safe from anything, from spiritual misguidance. So there are so many things that we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just provision, but for safety of our moral health, our spiritual health, our psychological health, our physical health, all of those things that we just take for granted. Everything take for granted. Therefore, we do not thank Allah as He deserves. And the way to thank Allah is to be in His worship. That's why He says, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Who is this Rabb? أَلَّذِي أَطْعَامَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ. He is the one who feeds you, who removes your jua, your hunger. Even the removing of the hunger is not a function of the food. Because there are people who can finish all the food that you have in the kitchen here and they will still be hungry. Because there are centers of satiation that Allah has created. If you damage that, you can eat everything. You can eat like an elephant and you still feel hungry. So who satisfies your hunger and your thirst? Allah. وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. There are people who have phobias. No danger, but they're afraid. How many you know? I can't go on the road. Why? I'm afraid. I can't come down. I'm afraid. Every little thing is panic. Can you imagine leading a life where you're afraid of everything? So who removes that fear? Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of some of His favors, reminding the Quraysh first, and through the Quraysh, reminding us today. So when we recognize these favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He has not enumerated all of His favors, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you wanted to compute and count the favors of Allah, you will never be able to count them. You can get all the supercomputers in the world, they will not be able to tabulate the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those that we know and those we don't even know what's going on inside us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, worship Allah. That anyone who recognizes these favors must worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the result of that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases them in provision and increases them in security in the dunya. Because if you have the true connection with Allah, all fear is removed. You fear one, all other fears are removed. You don't fear one, then you are afraid of everything. You're afraid of poverty, you're afraid of sickness, you're afraid of this, you're afraid of that, all of that. So exchange one fear of Allah for all other fears. And He will, as a result of this response of worshipping Him, He will remove your fears on the day when everyone will be afraid, including the Anbiya. Nafsi, nafsi, nafsi. That's the day of real fear. So whoever worships here, Allah will also remove the fear on that day, which is the real fear. When you see Jahannam, when you see what's happening, when you see the reality finally. If a person does not acknowledge these favors and does not worship Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do the opposite. He will put fear in you. He will remove your provisions, bring desperate situations, which is what the ummah is going through, in the dunya and worse to come on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an example in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا قَرْيَةً كَانَتْ آمِنَةً مُتْمَئِنَّ يَأْتِيهَا رِزْقُهَا رَغَدًا مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ. Allah puts forth an example in front of you of a city which was given peace and mutma'inna and security and tranquility. يَأْتِيهَا رِزْقُهَا, their provision used to come to them in abundance, min kulli makan, from everywhere it was coming. Then he says, fakafarat, but then they denied the favors of Allah, bi an amillahi, the ni'mah of Allah they denied, fakafarat bi an umillahi, fa adhaq Allah libas al-ju wal khawf bima kanu yasna'un. So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَأَذَقْنَاهُمْ, we made them taste jew, hunger and fear for what they used to do. What did they do? They did not thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, nothing is guaranteed. He can remove anything when he wants. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us through this surah Quraysh to recognize his bounties and to show our gratitude by not just tongue, by saying, Ya Allah, thank you, you know, ashkuruka, but by using Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bounties in a way that Allah would be pleased with, in the way that He has ordained for us what we should do. Okay? That includes our wealth, that includes our time, that includes our talent, that includes our provision, the food that we are given, the security that we are given, to use that in a way that would please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with that brief 25 minutes, we have covered Surah Quraysh. And for the next few minutes, we'll open it up to any questions. And then we will go to the next Surah.